Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. I want to introduce us to a character from the New Testament letters who had a reputation for caring. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. We'll read those in just a moment. Before we do, though, I'd like you to think about the many, many themes of the Christmas time. We think of joy, we think of peace. There is worship, there is obviously Christ and the incarnation. But one of the ideals, one of the themes and the character qualities that is really promoted around this time of year is really between Thanksgiving and Christmas is the theme of caring. Caring. Meeting the needs of people, being overly generous. We give gifts. Hopefully we do that out of generosity. We share meals. We have some joyful gatherings. All of those are examples to one extent or another of some effort of care and care for others. Care for others was demonstrated repeatedly, even just prior to the birth of Christ. Think about it for a minute. Joseph took exceptional care of Mary. He cared for Mary, protecting her from society, providing for her. In a moment when that announcement came, you think of Joseph's care. It was extraordinary. Mary obviously took care of baby Jesus, but she did so in less than ideal scenarios. And we're not even just talking about the place where Jesus was born and you know, how do you care for a baby when you're surrounded by animals? Not just that, but think about the care taken on the trip to Bethlehem. Think about the care taken on the trip to Egypt and in Egypt and from Egypt and then back home to Nazareth. And then as Jesus' life progressed, the care that was needed by Mary. And even the message of the angel that appeared to Mary, to Joseph, the angels, the angelic host that appeared to the shepherds, all of that was laced with God's care and compassion in light of the unfathomable news that all of these people were given. As Jesus grew into a man, he provided food. He healed bodies. He restored minds. He loved fully. He cared for people. And that care would be perpetuated. It would continue on by those whose lives have been changed, not just influenced by Jesus, but changed by Jesus. What were they changed into? They were changed into caring people. Barnabas was known as a man who cared for people and encouraged them personally. It is the reputation that preceded him. Peter cared for people so greatly that he had to preach to them, even though it would lead to his arrest. Stephen was a man who was known as a servant who would care for the widows of the Jerusalem church. Here's the point. The Bible is loaded with illustrations of what it looks like to care for other people, which leads us to this passage that I would like us to spend a little bit of time in this morning. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, we'll just read 19 to 24. There is much more in the letter to the Philippians regarding caring for one another, but I want to focus just on these few verses. So Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, the Apostle Paul writes this, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. So let's spend a little bit of time in this short passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul is writing from a Roman prison. And he's writing from prison to the church that is located in the city of Philippi. He hopes to see him again soon. He's confident that that's going to all materialize. But he wants to get this letter of encouragement to them as soon as possible. And so the letter to the Philippians is going to be delivered by a man by the name of Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus had come to Paul in Rome with financial help from the church of Philippi. So the church of Philippi sends Epaphroditus to Paul with some financial help. Paul is going to send this letter back to the church of Philippi with Epaphroditus. And what he brings back to them is a message of thankfulness and encouragement. And boy, did they need it. They needed this message. There was fighting within the church. Leaders were at odds with each other. The church is weakening in its gospel influence. That's what happens all the time. When the church is led by the flesh, it weakens in its gospel influence. The clarity and the power of the gospel is always at risk when sin enters into the mix. So this church needed this message. One little bit of good news is found in this passage that we just read. In verse 19, we see that Paul's intention is to send a man named Timothy to give a report, to teach, and to shepherd them for a time. All right, so Timothy is going to go, and Timothy is going to shepherd the church at Philippi. They need some help. What we find interesting is this, is that Paul is confident in the care that Timothy will provide. I want you to look back to chapter 2, verses. We'll start with verse 1 through 3 here. Notice what Paul writes. If there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. Now, we've gone over this numerous times. The if there is that the question with the obvious answer. Is there encouragement in Christ? Yes. Is there comfort from love? Yes. Is there participation in the Spirit? Is the Spirit of God working among you? Yes. Is there affection and sympathy in Christ? Yes, there is. Okay, so since there is, verse 2, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. I think what Paul is doing is he's actually living out this principle. What he is teaching them in the letter is something that Paul is actively living out. So as we come to this passage in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24, essentially what Paul is living out, what he's demonstrating to this church, is listen, if Paul goes to Philippi, great. If Timothy goes to Philippi, great. It doesn't matter whether it's Paul or Timothy, you're going to be cared for. You're going to be cared for because these men are of equal character. They are men who are known as those who have the grace of God. They're walking with the Lord. Their lives have been transformed, and they have the character of caring. Paul, Timothy, wonderful. Doesn't matter which one. And Paul is basically saying, I know that Timothy's going to care for you. And I know that Timothy's going to care for you. And actually, you know that Timothy is going to care for you. You know this. Turn with me back to the book of Acts. I think this is helpful for us to see. In Acts chapter 16, if you look at Paul's missionary travels, the Philippians knew Paul well, the Philippians knew Timothy well. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they, Paul and Timothy both, and the group that was with Paul, as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the result of that, verse 5, the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers daily. Jump over to verse 12, and from there to Philippi. So Timothy and Paul go to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we remained in that city some days. I give you all of that information so that you know this, that Timothy is a man who was known by some of the people in Philippi. He has a history, he has a track record of ministering alongside the Apostle Paul. So the Philippians know Timothy, and they know that he is a man of character. Back to Philippians chapter 2. Notice in verse 20, Paul says, I have no one like him. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. No one like him. I have no one like-minded. And the idea behind the original language here is I have no one equal-souled. I have no one of equal soul. In other words, we are walking the same path. Paul and Timothy shared the same mind and the same heart for the Philippians. In fact, Paul goes on to say that he is going to genuinely, authentically care for your welfare. He's not doing this just because I ask him to do it. No, he genuinely loves the people of God in Philippi. And he wants to care. Paul is saying he's going to treat you like I would treat you. He's going to treat you like I would. How do I know this? Verse 22. You know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. We are like father and son. We're equally souled, equally minded in this work. We think the same. We act the same. We say the same. Sure, we may handle, our personalities may be different, and we may handle situations a little bit differently, but we're going the same direction. If Paul were doing it, or Timothy were doing it, if Paul was caring, or Timothy was caring, we are one. Yeah, that reminds me of the mind of Jesus. It reminds me of the mind of Jesus. And we are commanded, aren't we, to put on the mind of Christ. But what was the mind of Christ like? Well, think about the Father-Son relationship with regards to Christ. Between the Son and the Father. So Luke chapter 2, verse 49, Jesus is 12 years old. And Jesus says to Mary and to Joseph, "Why do you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business?" There is a mindset there in young Jesus that is beyond this world. It impacts this world, but he is thinking of his heavenly Father. He is one with his Father. In John chapter 4, we read statements like, "I came to do my Father's will." Throughout his life, we read about, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." My food, that which nourishes me, which strengthens me, which gives me energy to pursue life. What am I all about? I'm all about what my Father wants. And obviously we have his statement in Gethsemane, "Not my will, yours be done." You remember what Jesus taught just before his arrest? John chapter 15. Turn to John chapter 15. Jesus is just unloading his mind. He's unloading his heart to his disciples. This is just prior to his arrest in Gethsemane. And here's what we read. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." So this Father-Son relationship, I am now going to try, I'm transferring that to you. "Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." By the way, where did he learn that love? He learned it from the Father. It's the love that he has and the Father has for him. "Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends." And verse 14 is what I want us to pay particular attention to. "You are my friends if you do what I command you." In light of what Jesus is teaching, see, it's easy for us to look at verse 14 and say, "Oh, well, this is a conditional statement. Oh, Jesus is saying, okay, if you do what I command you, then I'll make you one of my friends." That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not saying, "Do this, do A, B, and C, and I will make you one of my closest friends." "You are my friends if you do what I command you." This is what I like to call a relational identifier. How do I know who is my friend? I know who is my friend because of the love that they have one for another. I can identify them because their heart is being communicated in action. I love my Father, so he knows this because I am going to die for my friends. Now, how will I identify you? I will identify you as you do what I command you to do. The relational identifier here, care, compassion, love, serves as a name tag. Oh, you are of Christ. To obey Jesus is to obey the Father. And to obey Jesus in obeying the Father is to say, "I am a true son. I'm a member of the family." You're identified as one in the family as you put on and live out the love that the Father has that is shown to us in the relationship between Father and Son. Jesus is passing that on. And so in 1 Timothy 1:2, Paul writes this in his letter to Timothy. He says to Timothy, a true son in the faith. How does Paul know that Timothy is a true son in the faith? He sees it in his changed life. It is why Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. I know you're my friends because I see you obeying. Paul says to Timothy, a true son in the faith. How does he know that? Because Timothy's heart is coming out. You and I actually use this same language today. Have you ever heard somebody say, she's a true friend? He is a real friend. He's tried and true. When you and I speak like this, we're using the word true as it's used here in Philippians in its biblical sense. It alludes to faithfulness. It alludes to one who speaks the same as, one who holds the family name, one who is loyal, one who is unified. You know Timothy's proven worth. How as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. He is a son in the truest sense. 1 Timothy 1:2, to Timothy, a true son in the faith. Now, according to verse 20, I'm back in Philippians chapter 2. According to verse 21, do you see what Paul says? He says, Paul, most of the people in the church in Philippi, this isn't flattering. And I don't know. We have to ask ourselves, is this also what's said of us? In verse 21, Paul is saying, most people seek their own interests. Most people instinctively do things that create distance and destroy intimacy. This is what natural man does, not spiritual man. Spiritual man has been given different marching orders, but left to himself, natural man destroys intimacy. Natural man creates distance. And Paul is saying here, this Timothy, hey, Philippians, this Timothy, God will use him to bind us together because he seeks the things of Christ just as I do. So, friends, listen, when you and I are committed to treating someone else with kindness, when we are sincerely, genuinely concerned for someone else's welfare, verse 20, then you and I are going to start to grow in the kind of character that was modeled by Timothy. What Paul is doing is saying to the Philippian church, there ought to be no question at all regarding Timothy's ability to care for you with the love of God. You should not have any question mark in your mind. This man is being used by God. It is as if I was there. Look at verse 22 again. You know Timothy's proven worth. Proven. He's passed the test. Worth. What has passed the test? His character. Timothy is a man of character. We're not going to take the time this morning to look at it, but if you're a note taker, you might want to jot down 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. Timothy's not mentioned there. But as Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, what he's challenging them with is this kind of character. And these are the kind of tests that Timothy passed. Tests like what? Tests consistent with the gospel call. That's the question to the Corinthians. Are you really a believer? Because what I'm seeing in your life does not match with your confession of faith in Christ. And so he's laying out a life that is consistent with the gospel call. In other words, the Spirit is at work in you. You confront sin, but you love sinners with the hope of the gospel. You show the grace of God to others as God's grace has been shown to you. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says this, "You, Timothy, you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, love, and perseverance." Timothy, you know all about them, and not only that, you've so carefully followed that they are your character as well. You've lived them. We share this. So the Philippians, here's the point. The Philippians knew Timothy, maybe just like those in the Jerusalem church knew Stephen and knew Philip. These were men who had passed the test. Their character was sure. They were known as men who cared for the gospel, men who cared for others, men who cared for the church. Brothers and sisters, this is our calling in Christ, to grow in this kind of character. It is the life of our Lord, a character of caring, of being interested in others, in knowing that there is hope because God is at work, and I'm going to take that message of hope to them. I'm going to care for them well. How do we care? We care for our own households. You say, well, I do that all the time. Do you? 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And someone who cares, someone who has that character, is someone who will deny themselves so that their family can flourish. Men, women, children, if you know Jesus as your Savior, we are called to care for our households. We're called to care for the church. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially, highlighting here, to those who are of the household of faith. So we claim the name of Christ, we say we're part of the family of God, but maybe is there a lack of care for the brothers and sisters of your local assembly? Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. I love the next little part of that verse. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. Jesus said in John chapter 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then he says, by this love, by this care, by this character that resides in you, by you taking on the mind of Christ and living as a son and daughter of the faith, a true son and daughter of the faith, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Do you have the reputation for caring? Is your character proven to be like-minded with Jesus in this matter? You think the same. What has Jesus told me to do? What would Jesus do here? How would he act? How can I live the same as him? Do you seek your own? Or do you seek the things that are of Christ, that are consistent with that confession of faith? I'm so thankful for the godly people who have impacted me as God has sent them across my path. Parents and teachers and so many church friends who have quietly, faithfully cared for me and cared for my family through the years. We're studying on Sunday evenings. We just started this study on the local church. Why the local church? Why get your family involved in the local church? Well, beside the fact that it's a command, it is the place where they can be impacted by men and women who have the proven character of Timothy. I value that as a dad. I value that. As a husband, I value that. We lead our families well by placing great value on other members of the body who are equal-souled, who are like-minded. But here's what you and I know. You and I know that this kind of care isn't always easy, is it? It is why the passage that Lyle read mentioned the sufferings of our Lord. It isn't natural for us to truly care for others. You may have that bent. An unsaved person, a person who's not born again, they can have that bent. But remember, this is true of all of us. We have a deceitful, sinful heart that will make even caring for others an act of self-service, of self-advancement, of self-worth. So a word of application for us. Your worth is not about externals. It's not about accomplishments, and it's not about perceptions. It's not about how many children we have, but about how well you care for them in the kindness of the Lord. Okay, when your family members, when they seek their own, do you lovingly point them back to the mercy of God? It's not about whether your spouse deserves kindness or not. But to what extent are you committed to his or her welfare? Paul was sending Timothy saying, "This he is committed to your welfare. He is committed to care for you." Friends, are you known as one who is committed to care? See, natural man says he doesn't deserve grace. Spiritual man says, neither do I. But God gives it abundantly. Your worth is not about how big and how furnished and how meticulous your house is kept. Character rests on none of those. What matters is how graciously and willingly you use your house for hospitality and ministry. God's given that to you as a gift. Big, small. Can you care for others there? It's not about having a life that looks put together, is neat and clean, or a picture of the American dream. It's about using your lot in life as an ambassador of the gospel to care for others and meet them where they're at with the good news that God is at work in this world. Can I say it this way? It's not even about finding the perfect church. It's about being a church member who is filled with the grace of God and caring for other sheep in the flock with the love of Jesus. Spurgeon said this, "A good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and were cared for by you will remember you when the forget-me-nots have withered." Carve your name on hearts, not on marble. Friends, be thankful. Be thankful for men like Paul and Timothy. Hopefully you've got them. The Pauls and the Timothys in your life, people who have cared for you and cared for you well. Be thankful for those who have impacted your heart and cared enough to point you to Christ, even when you didn't want to hear it. But today, let me also challenge you to seek hard after the mind of Christ. Finding your worth, finding your value, finding your security in Him, and then finding your life serving Him. How? Jesus said it. By loving others, by caring for others. My hope is that Timothy's testimony does not rest on Timothy, it rests on the God who did the work in Timothy's heart. But that Timothy's testimony of a faithful God would lead you to care for others in a more biblical way. It is why he was known. It is why he was used. He wore the name tag. He was one of Jesus's. He was part of God's family. And others knew it because he cared for them. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father, we thank you for people with this testimony, a testimony not of their own greatness, but a testimony of a surrendered heart. God, Epaphroditus was one of those men. We didn't study him. There were others. There were others who loved, and their love was known because they cared. They served. And people knew Christ because they learned of Christ from these servants. I pray that we would be a people who not only are being obedient in our daily personal lives, but we are actually being obedient by reaching out to others. That we would serve. That we would be like-minded. Equally sold. And I pray that the Word of God would be quick and ready on our lips, that we would desire to point people to you. God, I pray that in this new year, you would challenge us and change us to love, all for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.